It's Travis, and welcome to Marketing Unboxed. In this episode, it's a great one. I've loved talking with all of the guests I've had on, but I think my guest in this episode is Stephen G. Pope, and he is the founder and CEO of SGP Labs, and he's based in Los Angeles, and he's been absolutely slaying it on the content front. And so in this episode, he talks about what he does, how he got started using TikTok and content, and some of the things that he's learned along the way, because we're not just born knowing how to do this stuff. So he shares a lot of great tips on content creation, distribution, how to come up with ideas for your content. So a lot of gold in this episode. Great Absolutely. To have you. We kind of bumped into each other in LinkedIn over a TikTok discussion
yeah.
with Todd Clauser. And I was kind of skeptical about TikTok in marketing and a business setting. And I mean, it's entertaining as hell. I get sucked in and just didn't know how it fit in, right? But then you got my attention. And
well, and you just said it too, right? It's entertaining as hell. And mm-hmm. So the main thing I just want to tell people is like, people are there for that reason. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got people that want to be on a platform for their own entertainment purposes, they're much more likely to actually be there and be consuming content. Because mm-hmm. I always just make the joke that's like, I don't know anybody that goes home and is like, I'm going to just jump on LinkedIn to get some awesome content, right?
Exactly.
So you just got to have the mindset, well, it's like, hey, if people are going there to consume stuff, there's no reason why it couldn't be my video that pops up. Mm-hmm. I'm not dancing. I'm just talking to them about something else that they are interested in. And it just happens to capture their attention. And that's the main mindset shift that I think people can make.
Exactly. Yeah. And the videos are short and you're not spending a lot of attention, a lot of time. So it's a quick decision, like when it pops up. And if you're a marketer and, you know, even though you're there for entertainment and kind of mindless scrolling, if something pops up that can make you better, you're going to stop, right?
Exactly.
So yeah.
And that's why that first, like you, another important point is like, that's why in that first couple seconds, you got to say, hey, specific person, I'm about to show you this that's going to help you. Mm-hmm. And then that's like, oh, they're like, okay, I'll give you another 5 seconds. I'll give you another 5 seconds. That's the requirement of TikTok is like, you got to grab them in that first couple seconds. Cause you know how it is. It's like, mm-hmm. you've probably scrolled past people before you even heard them say a word.
Right.
So what's going on there? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that is like a microcosm for just content period. I think it's a good framework, even if you're not using TikTok, a good framework for just the content that you create, because attention is so scarce, getting scarcer by the second. And you only have, it's just like a website has always been, you have a few seconds to really get them to subconsciously, and it is subconscious. They're not really thinking through that quickly, right? Do I stay or do I go? Is this for me or is this not for me? Am I confused? Am I lost? And if you confuse them, they're gone, right? So.
Right, exactly. And just like getting really clear on the desires of what people really want. Mm-hmm. And just being super clear and concise when you communicate that. And you're right. Like it's always been this way. Like people have been writing headlines forever, mm-hmm. right? Like it's newspaper. That's really nothing new. It's like, how can you write something that's a little bit different from what everyone else is writing and speak straight to that desire in a way that somebody else isn't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And that also leads me to something that I wrote down from, I think, a post of yours that I saw on LinkedIn about creating interest versus desire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you had mentioned that creating interest pushes them further from the sale. And can you dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah. So if you create interest, that's where somebody's like, it's a little more analytical. They're like interested. They're thinking about it. It's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I want to go research more. Like if you're interested in buying a car, Like that's when you're in the mode where you're like going to all these different cars, you're going through all the details. So creating interest at times isn't, I'm not saying that you should never create interest, but it's when people are really desire your product or desire what you're talking about, that it's a little bit more where they're just like, they're coming towards it. Mm-hmm. It's less about that, you know, people, you know, analyzing every little piece of it, where they're really in more of a thinking mode versus the desires, like, yeah, I want that. Like, give me that. What is it you're talking about? I want to buy that. So when you're talking about desires, that's a little bit more just like speaking to like the primal brain of what they're really interested in. Mm-hmm. Because another interesting thing that I've just realized more recently, and this goes into like how people describe their products and whatnot, is like people do not want to do work.
Right.
Like they would literally just love to snap their fingers and have whatever painful problem they have just disappear, mm-hmm. whether it's more customers or losing weight or, you know, whatever it is, they would just like to bypass that whole process. Like when people want a new car, like a lot of people probably dread that process of going to the dealer and like having them go through the upsells and having to negotiate the price. That's probably like what keeps some people from even doing it.
Yeah.
So you really want to keep people focused on their desires. People do want to know like the basics of how you're going to get them there. But like the more you go into all that nitty gritty detail, mm-hmm. the more it's going to create all these questions and thoughts and analyzing of this and that, as opposed to just focusing on what they really are desiring and keeping them focused on that and showing the authority that you can actually deliver on that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's kind of like you almost have to create content. I mean, you do have to create content for where people are in that process. And if you just create interesting content, you're never going to get them closer, right?
Right.
And I think, have you read Story Brand by Donald Miller?
Oh, yeah. That's one of those ones that I'm always, because I feel like that's one of those books where you read it and you can like actually apply it.
Exactly.
Whereas a lot of marketing books, you're just like, well, that was really interesting. Again, we're talking about that was really interesting, but like, what do I do with it? Yeah, I love that book because it's just like very like just practical. Like you break this journey down into a few sections. And even when I'm working with clients, they don't have to read that book. But if they do, I think it supplements everything we do in an actionable way that I feel like. So anyway, yeah, I love that book.
Yeah. And something you said made me think of it because it takes energy to think. And you can get wiped out really quickly. And I remember him saying something, I don't know if it was in the book or a video of his, that if you want to lose interest really quickly and have someone tune out, is when someone asks you, hey, what do you do? And you say, it's complicated. They're going to be like, oh, okay, I don't have the calories right now, the process, it's complicated, right? For a simple question. So,
yeah. And it's also an important part too, is that, like in a sales process specifically, like when I was even developing this new product and I was going through the iterations of, you know, all that stuff, there was a certain point where, people were very interested in kind of like the technical aspects of some of this stuff. But then on the sales call, I would go deep and I'd be like, look, you can do this and you can do that. And, like even in the group that we've formed right now, it's like, there's all these different things you can do. And they would be interested, but I could just see they're like, whoa, this is like intense, man. Like, this is a lot of stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, and I just had to really dial it back going through that process. Cause you get like us as the people that are doing these things, we get excited about them, right? Cause we like to do the process. These are the fun things that we're doing. But again, like the other people, it's just like, man, they just want that. They just desire to grow their business and to have a more free life, or, you know, help more people or be recognized for being that expert in that field. They don't, all that work to get there. It's like, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I enjoy the process. And I really like automation for the kind of the engineering piece of it. I think a lot of people look to automation and technology as the at the outcome, right? They don't really, if they could have someone come in and do build it for them, that's what they would prefer. And I think that's why they stop. They get into it and they're like, oh, this is too hard. I don't really enjoy this. I just want it done, right? Mm-hmm. But I actually enjoy, I'm looking forward to, I haven't had a chance to really dig into to the group and what you're sharing yet. I plan to do that this last 2 weeks of the month when I'm going to take some time to just like do some fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to understanding how it works, how everything fits together, because it is complex. I mean, you were an engineer, right?
Right.
So building stuff is what you do.
Yeah, and it's actually been quite fascinating to even start working with the group as well, because what I'm realizing is, and this was like the first couple of videos that I actually made that are inside there, which is like, hey, before you touch any of the automation, unless you just love technology and you want to nerd out and play around, by all means, go start jumping into some of that. But really just map out your content workflow. Mm-hmm. Like you record, and then what happens? You know, like, what's that manual process that you would go through? And create a simple workflow on how your podcast gets recorded and then gets turned into clips and then who's involved with that. Mm. And then if you're creating individual pieces of content, like let's say you're creating a TikTok, like how do you envision, you know, publishing that stuff out? Mm. And if you're not publishing to Instagram yet, or if you're not publishing to YouTube yet, then don't try to automate it. Just like, what's the minimum viable workflow that you have? Spend some time on that. Get mm-hmm. really clear on that. Implement it. Are you doing it manually? Mm-hmm. And then if you're doing it manually, then start thinking about, okay, how can you automate this? Because I've just been through the process myself. Like as an engineer, I've automated, I've created things that do stuff for me. And then I'm actually like limited. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is actually more of a pain than if I had just done it manually or not done this, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been one of the main takeaways that I've really learned, even just in the first couple of weeks of this automation group that I've created, is like, how am I going to help people not just build technology mm-hmm. and add value to what they're actually doing? And then also navigating just that everyone's at a slightly different level too. And so how do I help people and just push them along in a really valuable way?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm to the point, and another reason I'm really excited besides just getting in and building it, I'm to the point where I like creating content. I'm starting to create a lot more. I'm kind of in a rhythm and it's just going.
That's cool.
But I'm backed up as hell with the editing and like putting it together. And now I'm starting to think, man, I really need to focus on creating the content and building my business, which is just getting off the ground.
Right.
Is my time really best spent doing this middle piece, right? Of between creating it and distributing it.
Right.
And so that's where I need to figure out, and also need to look into hiring someone potentially to edit. And do you hire someone to edit your stuff?
Yeah. So the way I've always focused on is like, okay, so the reason why we create content is to create value for other people. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about what my role is and what automation's role is, I keep focused on that. And so where are you going to provide the most value in that chain of creating content that's going to maximize the value creation? And so, you know, for you, it might be doing the podcast, planning out what the content is, listening to what people are saying mm-hmm. so that you know what kind of content to create. And then maybe at the very least is when you are making clips and stuff like that, is just going into the script and just selecting what the clip is. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that piece is done, then you figuring out how that workflow moves on without you. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, you could share the script. You could say, okay, I'll send this to your assistant and they could clean up this. They could take out, they could clean up the transcript. They could remove the ums and the ahs. Mm-hmm. They could send it to a video editor to just, you know, or they could use a tool to, because you could literally export the video from the script and just keep it at that, mm-hmm. right? You don't even have to send it to an editor. So I think that's the trick. It's just like making sure that you're creating value, making sure you're listening, so you're creating good content. And then when you're pushing that stuff out, like, what are people saying? What are they commenting on? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you probably provide the most value. That some of those other pieces, somebody else could probably be doing. And then I'm sure at some point there's somebody else that could find those clips. Mm-hmm. They know enough about what you're doing and enough about the audience that they could find the clips. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's hard to do in the beginning.
Exactly.
They'll go in and they just won't know what should I clip out? Where should I start the clip? Where should I end the clip?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And what platforms are you currently distributing on right now when you create your content?
So I'll say where I'm distributing and then kind of where I'm active, right?
Yeah.
So I'm active on LinkedIn. I'm active on YouTube and I'm active on TikTok. I am pushing my content to Instagram and I'm also pushing it to Pinterest and my website. Those are the main places. I've experimented with some other places, but when I say active or not active, what I just mean there is like, I'm trying to actively grow it mm-hmm. because like, why do I put like, so when I push to Instagram and when I push to Pinterest, I am going there to make sure that like if people comment or this or that, that I'm responding and listening. But I partly did that also just to build out my system for being able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think when you want to grow on a platform, you have to be actively engaged with that community and you're commenting and interacting with them. I'm just less able to do that. I just don't have enough time on those other platforms. Mm-hmm. So those are that's how I differentiate it. It's like, I'm active on those like YouTube, TikTok and LinkedIn, and I'm publishing to a few other platforms just to kind of build out my abilities and, you know, learn how that stuff works and pushing boundaries a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting game. It can pull you away from other different things that you should be focusing on. So that's why I phrase it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't be active in the ways that you would need to be active on every platform to grow it and to build it like you would want to, if you were really interested in doing that everywhere. So you have to focus.
Yeah. And I do see growth on those platforms. Like I'm getting followers on Instagram. There's a lot of organic reach on Pinterest, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say I have the expertise to grow there.
Yeah.
Even though I'm kind of playing in those areas and just lightly monitoring what's happening there. But at some point, you know, I will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'd say the three that you're active on are probably the places where you get the most bang for your buck, right? They're not heavily, I mean, there's algorithms with LinkedIn and it can be a little tricky sometimes, but YouTube, you know, that's Google. They're hosting it. They're getting their ads. They're not going to really screw with it too much. Hopefully like they have with paid with search, right? Like getting an organic result to show up in Google search and get the traffic directed to your site. Google doesn't want that anymore. They want you to stay there. Consume, right. But YouTube, that's what you're doing. So it's a great platform for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the YouTube front, what I'm doing there is like, that's where I essentially deliver my live show, which is usually like a 10 minute to a max 30 minute video. And that's just part of like, that's like the delivery mechanism. Mm-hmm. And then how I'm actually getting people to watch those videos is still kind of organically through LinkedIn and TikTok. So, you know, I have an email list and I kind of have an engine around that. It's like, promote the next show. Hey, check out, this is what I'm going to be doing on Thursday. Here's the link. Actually what I do is I say, I'm going to be doing this show. Sign up on the email list. And then I'm collecting emails. Right. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days later, I'll promote it to the email list. I'll say, hey, it's live. This is where the link's going to be. And then from that point on, I'm promoting the actual live link. And so what that's doing is it's building the email list. And then when people go to the YouTube thing, they're also subscribing and liking to it and actually watching it. Mm-hmm. So I'm building my YouTube channel that way, as opposed to really going deep on all of the optimizations you can do on YouTube, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to swing back and do that. But again, it's just like you only end up having so much time. But I've noticed a lot of growth by moving the TikToks over to YouTube as the YouTube Shorts, and then promoting YouTube from those other awareness channels.
And with the YouTube Short, I know, and I'm just now starting to really get into YouTube. I haven't done much other than consume on it. I know you can add little links and things that pop up in the Shorts. Do you then link to the full episode? So if they wanted to go there next, or do you promote that in any way?
Yeah. So, what I do most of the time is like, so when I talk about the YouTube Shorts, is like, so I'm making the TikToks, and then all of those TikToks end up going to be YouTube Shorts as well. And gotcha. So the advantage on that front is just that, YouTube is pushing those Shorts more than they otherwise might push some of your other content. So it's just an easy way to grow on YouTube, because they're like, on some of the videos, like I'll get 1,000 views, which I don't get organically if I produce a 10-minute, 20-minute video. I think later on I will, but all of my TikToks go to YouTube, and that's helping grow that channel. And then specifically, if I did a promotion on TikTok and then that promotion ends up getting to YouTube, if you're being very thoughtful about it, you would go in there and link to the live show and all that kind of stuff. I could be doing better about that. That's a really great point, because that's where like the detail comes in, right? It's like remembering to just connect all the dots and get people where they go. Because it's like, a lot of times people are just pumping out content and they're not thinking about those micro actions. Mm-hmm. Like you just kind of brought up, it's like, yeah, if you get that TikTok over there and it's promoting something on YouTube, get into the description and get that link in there and make sure people can kind of connect everything.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like the old inbound HubSpot thing, right? You have a blog post, and in that blog post, you have an ebook, and you're always just constantly driving them to the next place. Instead of Google keeping that audience, you're keeping that audience, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it takes that attention to detail. Mm-hmm. Like when people are like, oh, how do you grow your podcast, or how do you grow these events? Well, it's just like, it's all in the details.
Yeah.
It's all in like promoting it, saying, hey, I got this guest coming on, you know, it's like this little momentum thing, right? So each week you're just kind of like, hey, I've got this guest coming on. He does this. If you're interested, you know, do take this action, have a link in the comments, whatever, you know, just not selling people things, but just like providing value. Hey, I'm going to be this cool guy, cool girl coming on my podcast. It's coming up. Then when it's actually done, hey, here's the full episode. This is what we talked about. Really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Then making the clips, and then the clips are like, you're just demonstrating what's going on. And it's just that constant repetition of that detail and remembering to just hammer these things out week after week, and getting into the detail that drives the awareness of this thing and kind of builds it up over time. Right. People aren't just going to magically show up to your podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not going to magically show up to your live show. But when you make it happen and you're delivering this great content to people, people will start talking about it. Mm-hmm. They'll tell their friends. They'll be like, hey, I'm in this group. I saw this cool video. This guy's really cool. This girl's really cool. You should check them out. They're right up your alley. But you have to have that, I don't want to say grind, because that makes it sound like not an attractive thing. Yeah. You want to like whittle things down to what you can actually accomplish, and just like constantly just create that wheel around things.
Yeah. And it's like a big heavy wheel, right? That you're pushing, and at first it's slow.
Right.
And the more you push it, the faster it goes, the more momentum you get, and you just go and go, and you pretty soon it's going.
Yeah. And then when you try to slow that wheel down, it's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a train. Getting a train going, you're like, oh my gosh, this is hard. But once it's going, now it's hard to stop.
Right. Yeah. Now it's part of your day. Now it's part of your routine. And now you're in it, right? And that's how it was for me writing. When I was writing a book, it's like, first it was hard. And then all of a sudden it kept going. And then I started to, if I couldn't write that day, I was like, oh, it was almost like I was going through withdrawal. It's like, no, I need to write. I don't want to get out of this rhythm, break this momentum.
Right.
Because once you, and it's kind of like working out. Like if you, you're going, you stop, you're like, oh man, I know how hard it is to get it going again.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I want to just keep it. It's much easier when it's already in motion, right? It's physics, even if you can't see it.
Yeah. And then and I think, and then this is something that I've had a challenge with, and I don't know that everyone does, but also just not continuing to add more and more and more, right? So like, let's say you get the podcast up and running, you can tweak it and move and kind of be flexible with it, but like, don't add another thing that you're trying to grow. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of realized this is like, marketing is about setup. Like you got to, if you're going to have a podcast, you got to set it up. You got to get the equipment, you got to do this. You got to think it through. Why are people going to even care to watch your podcast? But then it becomes routine. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be careful. Like you want to get into that routine, execute, get people to come to the show. And if you can't, like, solve that problem, right? Don't go create another problem. It's like, well, I can't get people to the podcast, so I'm going to do a webinar series or I'm going to do this or do that. And then just keep adding on like more marketing activities. Because again, it's like either setup and then routine. You got to set it up and run the routine. Now, if you're executing on the podcast or your live show or whatever you decide to kind of create, it could just be a weekly Q&A, whatever it is, like a Q&A could become a podcast.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just answering people's questions directly and then publishing that. It's probably actually a really great way of doing it.
Yeah.
If something is not working, figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just sit down and figure out why. I mean, it's either it's just not that interesting to people. It's not that valuable to them, or they don't know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be that many different things. And if they don't know about it, why isn't it? Well, it's probably because you're not really on any channel promoting it. You're not active anywhere. You're not, it's just like if you go to a networking group, right? Like if you don't go to the networking group, nobody knows who you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You got to be visible. And it's just, I mean, it's just marketing, right? You've got it. And it takes repetition. It takes persistence. And you had said something on LinkedIn that thought leaders need to repeat themselves. I mean, that's just marketing, right? You need to be in how people learn. They don't learn, like you tell them once and they don't really learn it. Like I have small kids and I just, the repetition that it takes for them to learn anything. I mean, it's just, that's just human nature, right? You just have to keep doing it.
Yeah. Cause that's another thing that content creators can get. And they can, they're like, oh, I've got to always come up with some new thing.
Right. Yeah.
And I face this, like all the things that I'm talking about, they're all things that like I struggle with on the day-to-day basis as well. Because I want to keep adding new things. I want to keep talking about new things. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to keep talking about the same stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember Seth Godin in a workshop I was in talking about brand marketing and display ads and like billboards and things like that. And, you know, he mentioned something along the lines of that, yeah, you're going to get sick of it because you see it every day. You're close to it. But other people aren't really getting sick of it because there's people who, A, haven't seen it before. It's the first time. There's people who have seen it, but they weren't really paying attention, right? And so they're not getting as sick of it as you are. And he said something like, the only time you should stop, you know, the repetition and frequency is when your accountant or your CFO comes to you and says, okay, we're spending way too much. It's time to slow it down, right? Otherwise, just keep it going. Keep it out there and in front of them. So
Yeah. And when I think about like the big people, like so Gary Vee, I mean, he says the same 20 things.
Yeah.
And there's another person on LinkedIn, Chris Walker.
Yep.
I mean, I love his stuff, but he says a lot of the same things over and over.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I still consume it. I still watch. I know what he's saying. People,
yeah,
I still
watch. You're like, oh, here he goes again. But it's that reinforcing feeling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, even though I know what Chris is going to say, and I've heard it before, hearing him say it again and maybe in a slightly different way, all of a sudden it sparks something. And I say, oh, the light bulb goes on in a different way that it hasn't the previous four times I've heard him talk about the same thing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, it really works. And yeah, and the Q&A thing is interesting because I've thought about that, and I think it's a great way to create content, especially if you're kind of new to creating content, you don't really know where to begin. You know, Christopher Penn, are you familiar with Christopher Penn?
No.
He's kind of more into analytics and Google Analytics and things like that. What he's done is, and I forget what he calls it, but he's active in communities. I think I first bumped into him in Daily Carnage, which is a marketing email thing, and they have a Facebook group. And a lot of, it was very active. I'm not in it very much anymore, but a lot of people are asking questions. And he would go in there and he'd see these questions, especially if it's about analytics and right up his alley. He would go and create a video answer to that.
Oh, cool.
Post it in the reply. And you screen share and stuff, but then he would use that. He would provide the context in the video so he could use it elsewhere. But he was just answering questions and providing context and reusing it everywhere. And it reminds me of a book by Marcus Sheridan, They Ask, You Answer. It's pretty much that concept. Like you just, as you talk to customers, they're asking questions. They keep asking you about price, put your price on your website. Right. If they keep asking you about these little things, put it on your website. So I love that concept of creating content because you are actually being helpful, generous, answering the questions that people actually have. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel and try to think about what are people interested in. That's what they're interested in, right?
Yeah. And that's one of the hard parts too, is because people always say, like, you got to understand your customers really well. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's like, okay, well, how am I going to do that? And then they download those those ideal customer profile documents, right? And it's like, oh, okay, you fill that out, but you know it's just kind of like, it's kind of empty. Because mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, what do they care about? You're like, well, you know what they kind of care about. They want to make money or whatever that is. You can only go so far with that document. You could spend 30 hours on it, but it's probably no much better than having just spent like 30 minutes mm-hmm. on it. Like you should probably just spend about 30 minutes to an hour on that document. And then the only other thing you can really do is go into one of these communities, mm-hmm. go on to LinkedIn, see what people are talking about. What are they asking questions about? But people don't do it, I think, because it just feels unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean I'm just going to go into LinkedIn and just kind of like see what people are saying? It's like, yes. Yeah, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But it just feels so like, it's just, I think people feel like it's a waste of time, but actually it's like probably the best thing you can do. You just go in there and see what people are saying. Go into a Facebook group where your customers are and do, Chris Penn, is that what you said his name
is? Yeah. Yep.
Just see, what are they asking? And then answer their questions.
Mm. Yeah.
Or do a podcast and literally just do a Q&A. Your podcast could literally be a Q&A. Promote, and that's what Chris Walker did.
Yeah.
Like he literally, and then just like say, hey, tomorrow's the event. Send me your questions. I think he selects a few of them, starts the show off by answering those things. And then I think at the end of his thing, he just makes it a little bit more freeform. Like if you have stuff that came up, then he answers those things. And then he uses that to understand what people want. Mm-hmm. And he creates the content from it. And he grows a super big business.
Exactly.
Imagine that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the best content you can create has a research component to it, right? And that's part of the research, is just listening to what's out there. And then even if you don't know the answer, go find it. And then, you know, I mean, that's part of it too. I mean, writing a book, I did a lot of research. I had to go out and dig a lot. And it was almost like the biggest essay paper I've ever written, like research paper I've ever written. Because you just go out there, you pull all of these things from all of these different places and you pull them in to one thing that makes sense, right? And now you've saved everybody a lot of time from having to go do that themselves. And that's valuable. So,
yeah, you know, it kind of reminds me of just like the general issue of like procrastination, mm-hmm. right? So like when you have to write that paper, you're like, oh man, and you could sit there and just think about it for 4 hours, 5 hours and not do anything. Or you could just go sit at the computer. You kind of make a rough outline, mm-hmm. You start to take some actions, and then those actions kind of inform the next ones. You do a couple Google searches. You could do that all within like 30 minutes and you instantly feel better about what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Or you don't, you just mull it over. You sit, you're like, oh, I got this paper to write, or I got this podcast to do. I got to create this content. What do I do? Just go ask people, mm-hmm. like just take some of those actionable steps, and then instantly you resolve that tension, but you mm-hmm. can't resolve it by being in your own head.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's good stuff, man. Great stuff.
I just wish there was I think people just want it to be the solution to be different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They want it to be just like, oh, can I just, what do I, tell me what to do. Yeah. Tell me exactly what to do and I'll do that. Or tell me where's the Google page that tells me what my customers want?
Yeah.
Where's the easy button?
Yeah.
Just tell me where that is. I'll go read that and then I'll just do it. And then that's what I want. Well, yeah. Actually just do this other thing that won't actually take you that much time. And that's where you get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why if you create the content about how to do this stuff, people will eat it up because they want to know how. They want to know shortcuts. They want to know this stuff, and they'll consume it, but they won't use it. But they'll keep coming back because they're not using it. So they keep wanting to figure it out, right? So.
Yeah. You know, people are addicted to how-to information.
Yeah.
And, to me as well, I actually had a coach right now, and it was actually a really interesting experience because he wouldn't just listen to you mull over all of these stories and things that you're telling yourself, like, oh, I don't really quite know how to do this. Or like, he would just say, what's your question? Like, what do you need help with? What specifically, tell me how I can help you. And then I will answer your question. But if you don't have if you can't formulate a specific question, the only thing you can really do is to start to take action and kind of move forward. And when you move forward, you might force yourself to have a question. Mm-hmm. But if you're just telling your story, like, I don't know where my customers are, then that's not really a question. It's nothing somebody can solve. There's no magic piece of how-to information that's going to alleviate you having to just kind of move forward and do things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like somebody can narrow it down, help you accelerate, just avoid some of the stuff that you just should not be doing, right? Because mm-hmm. there's certain things that are just going to be a waste of your time. But other than that, like, you're going to have to move forward, and like, just craving more and more how-to information is probably just going to make things more and more confusing because mm-hmm. there's a million different ways to get to the top of a mountain. Usually there's this way for this guy, there's this way for that guy. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to just start going up the mountain. And then when you hit that rock, when you hit that barrier, there's an expert that can help you uncover that barrier and say, okay, well, on this specific part of the journey you're on, like, mm-hmm. you know, just here's a good hammer you can use for this one, or here's a good rope you can climb over this one. But if you're just at the base of the mountain, you're like, how do I get to the top? And give me all the information so I can just, you're just probably going to confuse yourself and look at, because one guy's going to say, go this way. The other guy's going to say, go that way. Mm-hmm. And if you're just looking at all these different things, you're going to just consistently, it's like the shiny objects. You're going to be like, well, you know, you'll never quite get where you need to be.
Yeah, exactly. And you want a map, but it's uncharted territory for you, right? Your situation might be different. You don't have a set of IKEA instructions for what you want to do, because this guy had a different thing, right? It might work to a certain point. And I think it's kind of like creativity, right? I mean, if you've never done something before, why should you know how to do it and where that rock is, right? You don't know that rock's there, but you have to go the first mile to see, and you have to just keep bumping up to things. And unless you do it, you'll never see those edges. And until you see those edges, you don't really know how it's going to end, you know? So you just have to do it. You just have to get in. Move forward.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And there's usually some sort of limiting belief at a lot of this stuff. It's just like, it's like a fear, or it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's really more just about making a commitment to take some sort of action. And then it's like, as soon as you take that action, everything becomes like 90% more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just like, there's a million different things that you already know how to do. And when you're forced to, that's why the commitment is important. That's the most important thing about the commitment, is that you're committed to this goal. So all those other things you already know how to do that could easily distract you, and I could go down that route, you won't go that way because that's, you know, that's not going to take you to where you need to go. So you're focused on that uncomfortable new thing that you might, maybe it's, you're a little bit afraid, or you're uncomfortable, or it's just out of your, you know, whatever it is, just focus on that thing and just start edging toward it. Mm. And that's how you end up getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think understanding where the fear is coming from too, putting it kind of in its place. Because what is that fear? Is it because you don't know what you're doing? I mean, that's not something to be afraid of, right? But I think the fear is that you don't know what you're doing, what you're going to create, especially now in this digital world and creating content, people might see it, right? And you want people to see it, but you're also fearful people might see this. And if I'm creating TikTok videos and I was influenced by your videos and I see what you're doing, I'm like, I want to do that. And I try, and mine suck. Like, they have sucked. I did try it. And I'm like,
I like yours.
I want to be where Steven is. And I just want it right now, right? But it's like, Steven had to do it for a long time to get that to where he is, right? It just didn't happen overnight. Maybe it did, but.
Well, it's also, it didn't also, because I was able to grow on TikTok a little faster than other people were. And there's other people that grew even faster than me. Mm-hmm. But I was also, I was creating content and video on LinkedIn for a year before I moved to TikTok. So when I moved to TikTok, I at least knew how to get on camera. I wasn't afraid of that. I knew how to make hooks and deliver value and stuff like that. And because especially because everybody on TikTok is different, like their personalities and like how you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be doing it differently. But I think what you said is true. It's just like, people are afraid of embarrassing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Afraid of putting themselves out there being judged. And then therefore they water things down.
Yeah.
And then therefore it doesn't make the impact.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you just got to start. You just got to do it. And people will notice. And maybe it's not great. But if you don't get that out, it's like Stephen King has said about writing. You have to get so much shit out before the good stuff shows up, right? I mean, I wrote 56, maybe 65,000 words for my book and pared it down to 35,000.
Wow, yeah.
Because I had a lot of shit had to get out to get to the stuff that mattered, right? So you just have to do it. You just have to do it.
That's awesome, man. That's a great accomplishment. That's awesome.
Thanks. But yeah, I think creating content, creating anything, doing anything new is the same. You know, it's all invented, right? Right. No one was ever born just being able to do TikTok videos. Ever.
Right.
So,
and I think that's what's interesting is I've noticed that different companies run up against these challenges in different ways. So like what I've noticed is there's a lot of people that are starting their business, new businesses coming on. They're able to get into content creation a little bit more easy. One thing that is interesting to me is that the existing successful businesses have a really hard time getting into it because it's so different from how they got to where they are now. And it's such a shift, and they're just so used to, especially in like the services industry and like consulting and that, they're so used to just going to networking groups and these like in-person events to just meet new people so that they can eventually pitch them on their service. Mm-hmm. The idea of creating content and getting into some of these things, getting on a video, it's so foreign and so hard for them to get into, which I think it's going to eventually be dangerous for them because there's all these people creating content are essentially going to wipe them out.
Yeah.
So I think it's imperative that these companies do figure it out, but it's an interesting challenge for them specifically because they're kind of successful now. Like I know lots of people like, you know, whether it's a lawyer or a consultant or they have good businesses built on that traditional model. And they just have no idea how to get into this stuff because it's like, where do you even start?
Yeah.
And like, how do you take time away from the things that you already know work and start to like chip away at it?
Exactly. Cool. Well, yeah. Thanks, man. And I feel like I can hear my kids. I have these things on, so it buffers it. But I kind of hear a few screams. I've
They're going to bust through the door.
Exactly. So before things get too off the rails with that and can't edit that out, probably wrap it up. But yeah,
I appreciate it.
Really appreciate you coming on, man.
Absolutely. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And that wraps up another episode of Marketing Unboxed. Really appreciate you listening. Please tell others if you enjoyed the conversation I had with Steven and some of the other guests I've had on the show. Got some exciting guests coming up, some really, really good guests. Todd Clauser from Refine Labs and Kyle Lacey from Seismic. And also contemplating changing things up a little bit, maybe doing something a little different. So stay tuned for that. Anyway, appreciate you. I'm out.